Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
100 days, 100 nights, to know a man's heart.
Good morning, everyone. Our Monday agenda segment is here, and of course, the first milestone on the calendar this week is on Wednesday. President Obama will mark the end of his first 100 days in office. A real milestone or a false one? It is likely to be a week that will test the president in a variety of ways. Already this 100 days has tested the new administration. Hear me to talk about the tests and what this week is going to be like, and whether, as Robert Gibbs says, the 100 days is more of a Hallmark holiday than something real, is Marcus Mabry, international business editor of the New York Times. First of all, Marcus, it does appear that the swine flu concern is a real test of the administration's preparedness and ability to respond on something so psychologically electric here.
I think that's right, John. I think it's interesting that we saw yesterday the declaration of the weekend, rather the emergency, healthcare emergency in the U.S., which, as Femi was saying in the news segment, allows us to unleash emergency preparedness methods, including the shipping of millions of doses of antivirals. That's a key part of this. The WHO, the World Health Organization, which is will kind of do a global alert, is in charge of that. Right now we're in a phase three, which means there's localized, some spreading from animals to humans of what is, after all, an animal infection. They will be announcing tomorrow whether we're going to phase four or five, which is, again, about the size of clusters, as they call them, of those infected. So that's both the number of people infected as well as the geographic spread of those infected that will decide whether we go to four or five.
Now, you have a lot of insight as to how Washington works. And as someone with your perspective, how do we tell the difference as listeners and viewers between the bureaucracy just sort of working its various cogs mm-hmm. and wheels versus something that's really being managed from the White House by Barack Obama?
Well, you know, what we can do is we can watch where the pronouncements come from. If they're coming from the CDC, or if they're coming from the White House. Ironically, if they're coming from the CDC, I think for the most part that means bureaucracy is working. That means the White House is not stepping in where it shouldn't be. The worst thing the White House can do in this case, and sometimes it's to a White House's disfavor if you don't act fast enough, and we saw it certainly with Katrina and the Bush administration, but usually when a White House is letting the agencies, as it were, direct a policy like this and make the pronouncements, that's actually a better sign. That the president is not in panic mode and that the administration actually is in control of it. So far, they get pretty high marks for what they're doing.
Let's talk about the 100 days. They sort of downplay it once, you know, and then the next day they upplay it. You know, there's going to be a news conference on Wednesday. It seems to me that they consider that this 100-day milestone has some significance, maybe if just to get it over with. What do you think?
Well, it's really ironic because they start off, as you said, you know, with Gibbs talking about Hallmark holiday, meaning one really for the card manufacturers, not a real holiday. Well, I think Mother's Day started off as a Hallmark holiday, and who would say that that's not a holiday?
Yeah, there you
anymore?
Go. So no.
Hallmark holidays.
Manufactured holidays are good business.
Absolutely. There Valentine's Day, anyone? You know. So I think, in fact, it does mean something just because the import that that we in the media are going to put on it, and you have nothing to do but look at the 24-hour cable news stations, and it's going to be a great import that we will put on it. And ironically, the administration in the end, by trying to get together this budget reconciliation deal, they actually themselves are putting a great deal of importance on it because they have now given it importance, meaning basically if the leadership of the Democrats in the House and Democrats in the Senate come up with a budget deal and also an agreement to push through on a fast track things like health care reform, most importantly, as part of that budget deal, in order to do that, you have to get some conservative Democrats on board who weren't really comfortable with a fast-track health care mandate change, but that's probably going to happen. If they can do that by the 100th day, then that does mean something. That means they have a political weight in Capitol Hill that's pretty remarkable.
So to get this budget number, and you believe they're going to have a number, a reconciliation number, by the end of the week?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do. Well, they want to have it actually before the 100th day.
Before the 100th day.
So, I don't know if they'll reach that, but I think they're going to come close.
So to get that, they've had to put cap and trade on the back seat. That's off the table right now.
Absolutely. That will not be on the fast track.
And health care is on the fast track, but without the GOP, it seems, at this point.
And that's what's extraordinary. With this reconciliation process, you can do basically impose a deadline by October 15th, saying if the Republicans in the regular process of bipartisanship dealing in the Congress as called by the Constitution do not have a deal with the Democrats by October 15th, which is also the budget deadline, then you go ahead and make a deal that can pass with only 51 votes in the Senate rather than 60.
Wow, so that gets out of the cloture problem in the Senate. Yeah. Let's talk about two other stories. On Wednesday, the Supreme Court is going to hear final arguments in the extension of the Voting Rights Act case. What's the significance?
This is much more serious than the 100-day hoopla that we're going to hear a lot about in the next few days, and where there's report cards and up and down. And it's,
right.
This is very meaningful. This is Section 5. The Supreme Court is reviewing on the last day of the session, this court session, they're reviewing Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. Now, this section has been authorized by Congress every 5 years, and then 25 years for the last time it was authorized. But now it's being challenged by a utility district in Texas. Under Section 5, jurisdictions with a history of discrimination, particularly racial segregation, particularly against African Americans, those districts have to come and get preclearance from the Department of Justice before they make any changes at all in the way they hold elections, whether that's moving a polling station or whether that's redistricting. Now, this district in Austin did not exist back when that was first decided. And so their argument is we don't have a history of voting rights irregularities because we didn't exist until the 80s. So therefore, as a utility district, we make you vote in Texas.
Right.
So therefore, we should not be covered by it. If the court were to rule broadly in this case, it could undo all of the Section 5s and all the coverage jurisdictions, which for the most part are in the South, although there are some here in New York State, for instance, and in other states as well.
Very high stakes. And one other thing, we don't have time to talk about it, but Chuck Schumer, the senior senator from New York, is going to maybe flex some muscle by introducing a bill on corporate governance in the middle of all the economic downturn crisis details. Marcus Mabry, as always, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, John.
That's your agenda. And so as we close the show, the swine flu has got the world on edge. A lot we don't know about. We're going to be updating you all morning long, experts and reporters throughout the morning. And if you have questions, we'll try to answer them throughout the day.
This is Chris from Highbridge, New Jersey. And I've been hearing that people should avoid eating pork because of the swine flu outbreak. And I'm wondering, do I have to throw out the pork chops I bought on Friday?
The CDC has an answer. It says swine flu isn't transmitted by food. As long as you cook and prepare your pork properly, 160 degrees internally, it is safe. You don't have to throw your pork away. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Here's your takeaway.
Most of them are young men and women, particularly young men in their prime. People 30 years old, 35 years old, who would seemingly be very healthy.
Yon Grillo, Mexico correspondent for Time Magazine, talking about the swine flu in Mexico. I'm John Huckaberry. This is The Takeaway.